Dear friends, as I shared with you, I was watching after the wedding today, by the way, had a beautiful wedding today. Please say a prayer tonight for Tyler and Savannah Doucette. They were very specific. It's Doucette, Father, not Duchette or Duché. Okay. We'll just move aside on all French interpretation. Lovely couple, lovely people, lovely families. And when we also this morning, we had our prep for First Reconciliation. So I was marching the little second grade kiddos, giving a tour of the church, tour of the confessional, and getting them all ready for First Confessions, First Communion. All I needed was a baptism added with the Remembrance Mass, and I would have had the full spectrum of the Christian life in one day. And in each one of those, we emphasized the importance of prayer with our kids. Now you may be thinking, okay, Father, I agree with you, prayer is important, but when I heard the reading, so why do we pray to mow down Amalek and all of his people? Is that what prayer is about? Or is it to be annoying like crazy to a judge in town until we get our way? From that standpoint of our first reading, it can be difficult at times when we hear those texts like, wow, how do we square this? St. Augustine gave us a very clear insight on how to. He spoke of when Christ came, given his call for nonviolence, that we need to embrace, when interpreting Scripture, a holistic sense of it, meaning we always interpret the old in light of the new as Catholics and as Christians. And so therefore, when Christ calls us to reflect on Scripture, it's to be with a heart of nonviolence. And St. Augustine said, for example, would take precisely this passage we heard of, you know, the arms being lowered in battle and raised, and basically when the prayer was there, things went well, and when they weren't, things didn't go so well, and would use that as a metaphor for the inner battles we face. And he would say to us how many times that when we perhaps are not facing a battle before us in the battlefield, but a battle raging within our hearts. When we stay close to the Lord, we can make it through. When our hands go down and prayer is absent, things go awry. And that was at the heart of Bishop Barron's homily this morning that he posted on YouTube. He rightly pointed out a very disturbing trend that with all the violence we've seen within our world, whether it was the church and school shootings in Minneapolis, whether it would be the numerous things we can think of, sadly, that we mentioned, there's been and at one level understandable, but also at another level frightening lead of, I'm enough of talking about prayers. We need action. I'm tired of hearing about well wishes for those who have suffered. We need to change some things. Now, to validate a part of that, if what is meant is, don't use the statements of prayer as just hollow words to gloss over the true difficulties we need to face, that interpretation I support wholeheartedly. But if it literally becomes a, what good is prayer? That is a dangerous road. Because if that is literally what we're telling our culture, don't pray anymore, just act. Sadly, I would say we have become a culture of just acting. We're becoming a culture of ready, shoot, aim. We're becoming a culture increasingly where we don't step back and reflect and think, but simply react. And what happens when you have unthought reaction? Violence upon violence upon violence. And it begs the question, what does persistent prayer really mean? Does it really mean to annoy the heck out of God? Or does it mean that in that persistence, prayer does something to us? It reminds us of how God created us, as a loving expression of his love within the world. And that also, too, the people before us, even in times of grave confusion and violence, are to be seen as having an inherent dignity. They are made in God's image and likeness. And when we allow our hearts to be changed, what the call then is peace. Welcome to why I think one of the most important messages at every authentic Marian apparition site concludes with Mary begging whichever group of people it is, whether it be, little kids, whether it be adults, whether it be Fatima, whether it be Lourdes, pray for peace. Pray for nothing but peace. At the risk of sounding like I am standing idly by and allowing violence to occur, we've had enough of blind reaction. We need a contemplative heart to come within our world, within our culture, within our lives. We need to remember our inherent dignity and also the inherent dignity of the person in front of us. And sadly, we live in a culture where just acting is not going to get us there. We have to stop and pray and reflect. Who is my neighbor in front of me? Do I see them as, in scriptural language, as friend? Do I see my neighbor in front of me as enemy? Do I see them as slave? Do I see them as something far worse? A prayerful heart reminds us that what we look at, even in times of grave violence, is love. Love that has been corrupted through sin, absolutely. Love that through misuse of free will and the impacts of our culture and our world have done grave evil within this world, you bet. But if we lose that prayerful heart to remember the peaceful disposition we are to have, we are letting the hands full of weapons decide and resolve our conflicts versus our hands that are folded or our hands holding a rosary or a prayer book or scripture. And we're not allowing the words of Jesus to satiate our hearts to the nonviolence he calls for, but rather we just become part of the noise. Okay, Father, fine. So what are we supposed to do? Teresa of Avila, one of my favorite quotes, she's one of my favorite saints, by the way, a little zippy nun that came in demanding, we need more red meat in this convent, in this cloister. I'm like, that's my kind of nun. That's my kind of nun. One time, Teresa of Avila said, I've fallen away from my prayer life, and how do I get into it? Is there a system? Is there a method? And she said what usually most saints will say, pray. Okay. Pray. Sometimes we make things too complicated. So how shall we pray? I would encourage you to both practice and ask to reflect on the four dimensions of prayer in your life. When we come to praying the Our Father, St. Augustine again points out that there are four dimensions that make the Our Father the quote-unquote perfect prayer. It's not because of its syntax or grammar, but it contains a prayer of adoration, praising God simply because God is God and we are not. Thanksgiving, thanking God for all the good that we have received and also the struggles we've received. That's the tough one. It sounds counterintuitive at first, but think about it. How many times in your life has a struggle you faced actually brought about a greater good? Sometimes the Lord can allow struggle to help bring out of us something more of who we are. Petition, we are to ask the Lord for what we need. For what we need, not what we want. I'd love to pray for a Ferrari to be in my rectory driveway when I get home. Unless somebody happens to visit me, it ain't happening. What do we need? We need faith, we need hope, we need love. We need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in a profound way. And then, of course, repentance. Asking forgiveness of when our mind ceases to see our brothers and sisters as God's image and likeness and love. To ask forgiveness for that. And then also, by extension, it's not just something that we do. And this is where it connects with all of you who are here tonight, who are remembering loved ones. You have advocates in heaven that we have walked together through this year that want to continue to love you and pray for you. As I said at many of your funeral homilies that are here tonight, I'm starting to add this in most of my funeral homilies. It's important that we don't refer to the deceased in the past tense. It is important for us to not say Art Zwiebelhofer was or Jill Kirk was. They are. They continue. Granted, we cannot feel the touch of their hands. We can't hear the sound of their voice. We can't feel the warmth of their embrace, but they exist and they continue. Is that not our understanding of the communion of saints? And so just as you pray to have the Lord change your heart, I beg you, believe me, if any of you have not asked Joel Heil to pray for something, shame on you. Joel loves this place. He'd be here serving. Joel would be disappointed if you don't ask him to pray for something for this parish, for you, and for our world. Before you go to bed tonight, ask those who have died that you love, who are with the communion of saints. Ask them to pray for you. Ask them to pray for our world. Ask them to pray for your home parish or parishes if you've come to visit. Ask them to pray that the madness we see in our world ends. Do I think we need to do things in legislation to try to promote a culture of peace? Absolutely. Do I think that we need to have more action to try to move away from the culture and have some good, solid programs to try to facilitate cultures of peace? You bet. I'm behind that stuff 100%. And I'm not trying to say that those efforts are in vain. They're not. But you should cringe, and I should cringe every time we hear the phrase, enough with prayer, let's just act. Boy, you're playing spiritual Russian roulette when you go down that aisle. You're playing with a dangerous, dangerous mentality. We have seen enough dangerous thinking in our culture today. Let us stop. Let us pray. Let us ask the Lord to change our hearts. Let us ask the Lord to help us to be a people of peace. Ask the loved ones we remember tonight who have gone before us to pray for us in this world that we may be in peace. May we truly have the promised kingdom that Jesus established on the cross to continue to be slowly revealed before us so that we can experience, as I've shared with you in the past, an apocalypse of love, a world set ablaze not with destruction but with the fires of love that illumine and not consume. We have seen enough of the apocalypse of doom and bloodshed and bombs and death. That apocalypse leads us to nothing. Pray today, every day, persistently, that the battles we face be met with the quenching fires of the apocalypse of love.